That I just want you to know that we have a table on the outside there too. Before you leave, please stop by, talk with us. Everything on that table is for free. Please do not take the stands, okay? Everything is for free. Literature is for free. Just leave the stands, okay? We need the stands. We want to replenish the stands. And if you are a loved one is struggling, just so you know, we have scholarships, okay? Scholarships. So what does that mean? You pick up the phone, you call, and if you meet the criteria, we make the necessary arrangements, and you will choose. You have to choose, though, to come and live with us, all right? It's very structured. At times, it can be difficult, but I tell you what, change is constant, but misery is optional. Oh, my God. Change is inevitable, but misery is optional, and we're always changing. I mean, the scripture talks about that. The Spirit of God in him, we're changing from what? You guys are biblical people, yeah. We're becoming like Christ daily, right? Until we get there, we'll be like him when we see him. But until then, I just want you to know, and change is not always easy, by the way. How many of you enjoy and embrace change? You just wide open with your arms and you just embrace change. If you're like me, there's a little fit on the front end. I just like what I like, period. I'm not sure if you're like me. Yeah, I like sameness. I like, okay, I get up today, I know what time I need to be at work, blah, blah, blah. And if it goes off course, you know, I'm tempted to get bent out of shape, right? You're not like me. You guys are saintly. God bless you. You're incredible, right? Yeah, your life just goes on and you just follow along, right? But here we go. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning with verse 15 through to verse 17. And then Brother Paul is going to work with me. No, this letter was written while the Apostle Paul was in jail, okay? It's one of my favorite letters in Scripture, okay? He is sitting in a prison cell, probably he was under house arrest, whatever the case may be, and he decided to write because he wanted to encourage the body of Christ. On one of his missionary journeys, he established the church in Ephesus, all right? And like a good parent, he was always concerned about his spiritual children, and so this letter was written to encourage the church in Ephesus. And if you read your Bible carefully, Ephesus is mentioned again in the book of Revelation. Okay, remember, this church is also mentioned in the, and the Apostle Paul was, of course, the founder. He established the church, and then he had his son in the faith. You know who his son in the faith was? One of his sons, right? He loved him dearly. It's a T word, right? It's T. Timothy, right? And so he left there and Timothy was installed. So he was the young pastor of a very mature church in Ephesus. And so he's writing to the church in Ephesus. They believe Tychicus was the one who showed up and brought this letter back to the church in Ephesus. And in chapter 5, beginning with verse 15, you see him saying, "So be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise." He's writing to the body of Christ. And how fitting is this reminder for us today in the world in which we live? He goes on to say in verse 16, "Make the most of some opportunity or every. Of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do." Very simple, very straightforward, simply put, cut and dry. Father, speak to your people. Let your spirit speak clearly to each heart present in this building today. Lord, I pray you encourage those that are discouraged. I pray you bring healing to those that are hurting. Ultimately, Jesus, be thou glorified in our midst. Be lifted high. This is your church. You are still large and in charge. You are the head and we are just members. And so God, minister to your body today. Lord, I pray that I will decrease and that you will increase. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So I want to take you back to school a little bit. I'm going somewhere with this. And Brother Paul, as you can see, how about that light bulb? We're going to talk a little bit about the light bulb, but you may say, what does this have to do with recovery? Well, I'm glad you ask. It has everything to do with recovery and what I'm about to share with the body of Christ. How many of you enjoyed history growing up, right? You were just locked into history. So I just know you're going to critique me whether or not I want you to. You're going to leave here today and you're going to make sure you search Google or whatever search engine you use to make sure Pastor St. Clair Sterling was telling the truth. I hope you're like the Bereans, right? You want to make sure it's not just what is projected on the screen. You want to go home and you want to do your homework for the sake of the gospel. Is that okay? So here we go. We want to look at some life-changing inventions over the years, okay? And because we live in this world, all right, we're still here. It would have been wonderful if, you know, after salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, took us home, but we're here. For some people, that's the case, but for most of us in this room, that's just the way it is, okay? So what do we do? What kind of life should we live? Of course, I just shared with you what kind of life we should live as members of the body. Go back, my friend. Oh, my goodness, he's so excited. He's a history buff, too. You see that? So, life-changing inventions over the years. Living wisely in a changing world. No, it would have been really cool if the verb ending was ed, right? Yeah, talking past tense. We don't need to change anymore. But ing simply means it continues until we breathe our last breath, okay? And while the world is changing, though, remember this, God's word remains the same. This letter was written probably around 52 AD. Nothing after 60 AD. And it's still being read to this day. Okay? And it is still as potent and rich today as it was when the church, who it was written to, read it for the first time. Isn't that amazing? You see, who God was, God is, and will always be. Don't ask me where he came from, okay? Because I am not able to intelligently tell you where he came from. However, I know this. He is alive and well. You ask me how I know he is alive and well. He woke me up this morning and I met with him before I came here. Oh, we had a wonderful conversation. And you say you're talking to some God you can't see. Well, it's kind of like a toothache. Can you see your toothache? How do you know it's real? It's because you can feel that something is going on. So I know he lives, okay? And he's alive and well and will always be alive and well. That's why we do what we do. That's why this ministry continues. You see, we're only servants in the body of Christ, serving broken people. We're not the ones in charge of their salvation, nor their deliverance, nor their healing. We're just guides along this way. Oh, where did you find salvation? I'm glad you asked. Are you willing to follow me? I'm just a tour guide. Let me bring you to the Savior of the world. What's his name? His name is Jesus. I don't care what you say. I don't care what everybody else is saying. You see, if you were dead and in need of life, and somebody say to you, Jesus is not just some name of a guy who lived back in the day, but he's alive and well. Not only that, it's documented that on the third day, okay, The ladies decided they wanted to go check him out to see if he was still there. And they appeared and there, you know, on that stone, what happened? An angel was sitting on the stone. He's not here. What are you looking for? He's not here. He's alive. How do you know he's alive? I know because he lives within me by faith. I believe it. I believe it. He is alive, church. And so therefore this continues. So here we go. Life-changing inventions over the years, living wisely in a changing world. So let's go to that slide there. Go ahead. We're missing words. How many of us knew the first public clock tower was erected in 1370 in Cologne, Germany? And that's when Europe, they believe, going backwards, that's when Europe decided to change what happened in the Western world in terms of time and what we do with our time. So what did they do before this? People used to sleep 11 hours. And you guys are... You talk about being well rested. Yes. Not all this 9 to 5 stuff, 8 till 4. No. People slept 11 hours and they would go to bed at 7. And they were well rested. Today we are hurried, stressed, depressed, you name it. God have mercy upon us. Huh? How many of us knew that this thing was first erected around that time? Okay? If you didn't know, no, you do know. No, don't tell your loved one or your spouse you're going to sleep 11 hours. You may end up losing your job, okay? Don't do that. You can't say to your boss, well, we need to go backwards. No, why? Because we're living in a changing world, okay? All right, next slide. How about 1879, when Thomas Edison made the incandescent light bulb? No, he wasn't the first person, just so you know. But he is the one who came up with the incandescent light bulb. All right, how many of us knew that? We're talking about history here, going backwards. Good. Continue, Paul. We're in the same room. How about the Wright brothers posing for the cameras, right? We're talking about inventions that has certainly changed the way we do life over the years, right? Today you can fly from, you know, we don't have anything. We do. Do we have an airport here in Sussex County? I believe so, in Georgetown. It's one of those little small planes. But let's go to Baltimore. You can fly from Baltimore, okay, to Hawaii or Timbuktu, right? But it started out with these brothers, right? Isn't that incredible to know that? Today we have all these fancy jets and we can zip here. And don't even talk about the military strength we have when it comes on to these jets. They're not breaking the sound barrier. But it started out, is it true? With the Wright brothers. Go ahead. I'm positive it paid off to be the Wright brothers back then, you think? Oh, they were swimming in money. No, this is not the actual picture of the first computer, okay? It is said, when I looked up all the pictures in regards to the first computer, this building wasn't big enough to house the first computer. Isn't that incredible? So the first computer was invented by a guy named Charles Babbage between 1833. It took him a long time to really pull this thing off, okay? So that's one of the, as a matter of fact, as a kid growing up, I remember seeing something like that. Probably that's the reason why I chose that particular picture. When you had floppy disk, come on people, you know, you had to blow it, okay? Go ahead, Paul. Yes. January 1st, 1983 is considered the official birthday of the internet. So I'm actually a year older than the internet. Hoorah. I'm just saying. What did we do before the internet? We interacted. We fellowshipped. We connected. We had conversations. Yes. Oh yeah, we were living it up, right? Is that true? And no, I'm not saying these inventions are bad. Just hear me. I'm not demonizing these inventions. We thank God for these inventions. Is that true? I hope you are thanking God for these things. But if we're not careful, these things can ruin our lives. And for the most part, most of us are only thinking about, when we hear the word addiction, we think about drug addiction and alcoholism, right? Or internet pornography, you name it, right? Eating addiction, gambling, you know, but there is a very subtle addiction, which I'll get to. I'm not going to run ahead of myself. And truth be told, probably 95% of the people sitting in this building will either say ouch or amen when we get to that one. All right, including me. So you're not alone. So the internet had, oh my goodness, Paul. Go ahead, stay right there. So the internet, January 1st, right, 1983. And of course, this is where we are today, of course. But this guy, how about Steve Jobs? Yeah, yeah. The first iPhone was released on, and I'm positive some of you disliked the phones you had and really wanted this new thing when Steve Jobs with his team made the announcement that this is actually, look at this phone, people. You see that? This is the actual first model. That's a picture of it. What kind of model we have today? Is it the 15? Praise God. You have the 15? The 12? Praise God, sister. Okay. We go backwards, though. You see that? Changed our lives forever. When he came up with this, it was the first smartphone with internet access on it. Sorry? Well, you're messing with the messenger. You're messing with the messenger too. I like you. That's why he's the security. I have to go through him, okay? I came in through. But here's the thing. With smartphones, you need to have stuff to do with the smartphone, okay? And so Brother Paul is going to show us some of the apps we have. Some of us have more apps on our phones than money in the bank. It's true. No disrespect, as I said. No disrespect, okay? This is me saying to us as the body of Christ, this is happening in our world, and Christ wants us to be aware of what's happening. So with all these apps, they tell us we're living in a social age, but to me it seems as if we have never seen people being so antisocial with all the social connections we have everywhere. Is that true? People are no longer writing letters. Nothing. I mean, come on. Nobody's showing up to Jimmy's Grill. They don't have that anymore. That's been gone. But even Texas Roadhouse, you go to have a meal, and instead of enjoying the meal, husband is texting wife, vice versa. But we showed up to have a meal. What's up with that, right? And this is no condemnation, brothers and sisters. This is happening today in our world. What kind of people Jesus Christ wants us to be? He wants us to be wise in a changing world. I'm not saying these things are bad, but if we're not careful, we can become enslaved to these things. And we're no longer practicing spending quality time with the Lord Jesus Christ because we're hurried and distracted. And before you know it, every notification. Okay, you guys are going real quiet on me. I won't preach this again, by the way. Go ahead. How many of you have ever seen this documentary? You've seen it, Paul? So I have an assignment for you. Please. I think it's on Netflix, is it? Please. If you have time, do yourself a favor and go ahead and watch that. It's called a Social Dilemma. They tell us that we own our cell phones. They tell us that. In Silicon Valley, that's not so. They deceive us into thinking we need the next upgrade in order to monitor your movements, okay? And instead of you owning your phone, they own you. You guys are looking at me all funny. But they won't tell us that. They won't tell us that. You see, when you check your teenage son's phone or daughter or grandchild, Facebook is on there for a reason. Instagram is on there for a reason. All these apps are engineered to control your moods because they mess with the brain. Neurologically speaking, whatever you feed the brain over time will be produced through actions and interactions. That's why they can manipulate how we feel. So if I don't like your post, over time, nobody likes your post, and everybody's liking your friend's post, then you begin to associate a like or the lack thereof with who you are. But they don't tell us this. And people can be very nasty on social. Should it be a good environment? Can we use it for good purposes? Yes, we can. But when these things end up in the wrong hands, they can also be dangerous. Before the internet, how many of you knew anything about cyberbullying? I didn't even know that word; those words existed. No, you have to be protecting your information from fishers. I thought fishing had to do with the ocean. But apparently people are fishing on the internet for your information, right? To be bad. To wipe your bank account clean. So what we thought was good is now making us miserable and some of us unhappy. So there's a social dilemma out there. And then this is the new addiction. The typical cell phone user touches his or her phone 2,617 times every single day. How many of you knew this before? Is that a problem, you think? Seriously. And watch this. The numbers, they'll double if you're addicted to it. But they don't tell us. It's kind of like you got injured. Genuinely, they prescribe pain medicine, right? But what they don't tell you is, if this thing is not monitored over time, it will ruin your life. It will take away your life savings. You hear me? A good idea. Why not use it? It's good. It's brilliant. It's new. Let's do it. Let's try it, right? Nothing is wrong with that. But if it's not done properly, of course, we become slaves to these things, right? That's the kind of world. So God wants us to be wise as we interact with the world. We should know these things, church. We're the ones who should stay or be on top of these things in order to interact with a changing world. He wants us to be equipped, not to walk around and strut with our shoulders squared like we're better than anybody. No, we want to engage the world in which we live. Biblically speaking, preaching the gospel, telling people the truth in love. Everybody doesn't win. Sorry. Americans read 200 to 400 words per minute. At this speed, we could all read 200 books a year. Guys are getting more quiet. The average American will spend 705 hours on social media alone. Each alone. I'm not talking about my PS4 or my PS5 players or Xbox One or Two, whatever model you have. On social media alone. Annually. And by the way, as I speak, I think it's growing. I really do. Don't quote me on that one. The average person will spend almost 3,000 hours. Isn't that incredible? Is it? Unbelievable, right? Could it be some of the things we see today in our world is strategically designed to produce some of the results we're now seeing with our eyes? Could it be? I'm just asking. I'm not saying it is. I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but I'm positive. I've been around long enough to know if the fish tells me water is wet, I must believe the fish. Are you clear? Are you still here with me? This is the new addiction. You want to know if it's addicting? Like me, I'm tempted to text someone while I'm driving. Mike, I'm tempted to text someone while I'm operating a car. How do you do that? How do you effectively operate a moving vehicle while texting at the same time? It's kind of like patting my head and rubbing my tummy. Have you ever seen that? I can't do it. I've tried. I'm 42 and I've tried. It's just hard, right? That's how you know you're probably dealing with an addiction. If we know it's illegal, right? Is it not in law? It's illegal. Have you ever been rear-ended by someone who was texting while they were driving? Or you ran into someone? Yes, I don't say anything. You're the aggressor now. God have mercy upon us. And you see this child here? Picture of a child. Church, hear me. I'm speaking from a recovery standpoint, okay? But I'm using the scriptures as well. Watch this. Children in the South, in the United States of America, are being prescribed by doctors. You know what they're prescribing? No, this will blow your mind. Outdoor time. Outdoors are being prescribed. Doctor, this child is glued to his or her phone. Really? I have a brilliant idea. I don't know what to do. I have a really brilliant idea. I am going to prescribe the outdoors. It's so sad. It's very scary. And by the way, it's an actual addiction. In our adolescent homes for boys and girls within Adult and Teen Challenge here in America, we're finding more and more children are coming in, addicted, strung out. They will rip this entire building up if you take the cell phone away from them. Not only that, as a child, the brain is not fully matured. And if we're stimulated after a certain time at nighttime, no wonder why we can't sleep well. Because we're stimulated. If you read about war outside the scriptures and go to bed, the news and all this stuff that's going on, have you ever watched the news and you're fired up like you need to be on the battlefield already? You just need a big gun and you're going to hold... From watching the news. Huh? If you're like me, I'm a Fox News guy. I just can't help myself. Sorry, you know, it's a confession, right? Yeah. But honestly, to God, if we're not slowing it down, if we're not really and truly spending time with Jesus Christ, you know, social media, these people, they know what they're doing and they want us addicted. They want us divided. They want us charged and frustrated. And then we're no longer acting like Christians. We're acting like everything else and everybody else. And there is absolutely no distinction. Remember, I started out by saying, I'm not putting down your smartphones. I'm not telling you to throw away your smartphones. I'm just letting you know that someone other than the Spirit of God is probably trying to be your master. And it's happening every day. There's so many gods in our world today. So many gods. You see, I will never go to the store and purchase a carved out image. I'll never do that. Is that true, Pastor James? A carved out image. Carved out and say, this is my God. But if I'm not careful, where is it? Please. If I'm not careful, I walk around with my God in my pocket. I'm busy with my God. Certain parts in Europe, and I'll close with this. Certain parts in Europe, church, whether you believe it or not, they've made crash dummies. I'm talking about walking freely on the sidewalks. They're crash dummies. No, seriously. Like crash dummies, like a thing was designed for people on their cell phone. Yeah. People are falling into potholes and all kinds of crazy stuff. What's going on? There's a real devil. Just remember that. There's a real devil. And as the body of Christ, I hope you were encouraged today. I hope you were challenged as well to really and truly take a closer look at what's going on in our world. I have a tracking device in my pocket. A tracking device. Everybody wants to know where I'm at. Everybody will know where I'm at. Isn't that somewhat odd? Have you ever noticed you want to pray and you brought your phone to prayer and that's the time when it rings? Or that's the time when multiple notifications are going off? And if you're like me, I touch my phone because I have one. There's no real reason for it. Father, Jesus be glorified today in our lives. We surrender these things to you. Your word makes it abundantly clear what kind of people we should be. No condemnation whatsoever. This is just information, you know, gleaned recently to really and truly encourage the body of Christ. We thank you for inventions over the years. And some of us are even inventors, and some of us work with technology daily, God. No condemnation. I really felt in my heart it's time for us to have these conversations, Lord. To really and truly begin to think about these things. Because if we are not careful, we can end up spending more time with stuff instead of you. And God, we see it today. Social media everywhere. Good purposes, we get it. But if we are not careful, we can grow into becoming people we were never created in you to be. And so God, seal your word to the hearts of your people. Be glorified in our lives today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you.